119 verse 23. The princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. David's life is an amazingly adventurous life. I think he met extraordinary trials if you read his history. I was thinking, if you and I would have been, you know, in his position, I think with the blood pressures going up, with our tensions rising, and with all kinds of stroke and BP, and we would have probably died much earlier, right? Probably 25, 30, we wouldn't have crossed with the kind of situation that he faced. But this man lived, I think, over 70 years and reigned as a glorious, successful king for 40 years. In a way, in this psalm, he reveals the secret of his wonderful inner life. Right? The psalmist goes and tells us the various kinds of benefit that he is experiencing because of his love for the Word of God. Last week, verse 22, he faced terrible insult, terrible shame and reproach and contempt from people. And in the midst of all that, he believed that whatever insults that he may face, God is so sovereign to overrule that and remove all that, because he kept the word. He kept God's word. And now moving on, today's focus, our focus is going to be verse 23. There are two things that verse talks about. He points out a big danger and his godly response to that danger. Okay, there is a big danger and his godly response to that danger. So let's understand that verse with these two headings. Let's look at the big danger. What is the big danger? He says, princes also sit and speak against me. And what is his response to that? The remedy that he is using against this kind of thing? He says, but your servant meditates on your statutes. So let's understand the danger. I think there are so many things in this danger, which actually makes it a big danger. Why? Look at who it is, who he is talking about. Princes. This is a trial, you know, his earlier trial at least came from the common people, right? They were insulting him, they were mocking him. But here, the authorities are involved, the princes. Meaning the top people in the nation. Probably he's referring to Saul and all his counselors and all the parliament that he runs the government with. Those are the princes. The word princes are, you know, in a monarchy kind of situation, they are the ones who rule the nation, right? They decide, and if they decide something, that's going to be the law. In a way, the breath of every man was in the hand of a monarch in those days, right? And nobody would even dare to anger or upset a prince. People actually shuddered before such princes. And most people actually covered that they should have a good word about them. They should be spoken good about in front of the princes, right? But here is a great danger that David is facing. These princes are against him. And he says that such powerful men, such powerful government officials, what are they doing? They speak against me. Not only speak, you know, evil things, not only speak mocking, insulting things, but they are kind of speaking in a judicial way. They have condemned him. The powers of the world, I think, has given a false sentence against him. They speak terrible things and he is in a danger, right? I think probably they may be saying that he is a threat to the whole nation. He is a threat to the national security. And this is a cursed man. This is a wicked man. And we should absolutely destroy him. And we should completely destroy him. And look at how it is said. They sit and speak, right? Not only when they occasionally meet somewhere in their private rooms or in their tables, you know, they're just passing by. No. The discussion of David is happening actually in the judgment seat, in the council chamber, in the parliament where the laws are passed. They sit, when it says sit, right, it's an official position. These princes are sitting in the judgment seat and they are consulting and plotting how they can destroy the seat of justice, the seat of authority, where any justice or any, you know, any people, you know, who feel helpless, who are, who've been wronged, can appeal to that justice court, right? That is the place these people are sitting. And they are having sessions that slander him, and they are having parliament sessions that are talking about all wrong things about him, and they want to destroy him. Think of what a big danger. You understand? It's a big danger, right? Think of a danger, you know. Will we face such a danger? You may think, oh, no, we will never face. Yeah, because of our, you know, lukewarm kind of Christianity, we may never face such danger. But Christ said to his believers that we may face if we stand for the gospel. Church history, if you look at church history, believers have faced such danger. You know, the government itself was against the believers, right? Matthew 10:17, the Lord said, "Beware of men, for they will deliver you to councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my name's sake." Again, the princes, right? Not just ordinary judges, the governors and the kings, the supreme kings. Our enemies will turn out to be the people in authority, people in public positions. And they may use their position and in a pretense to safeguard the law and public good, they may try to destroy us. And if we face such a situation, what are you going to do? And think about David's situation, right? I was imagining in the contemporary terms, what could it mean, right? Today, imagine there is a parliament session going. And tomorrow, if in the parliament session, if the whole parliament discusses how they can seize my property, right? How can they catch me, arrest me, and execute me? And the PM's office sends an order, and the CM's office sends an order. There is a police post that is being called, and the army is being deployed to somehow chase me and catch me so that, you know, they can destroy me. I heard that in the TV. Can you imagine what will that look like, right? Will we be able to sleep or sit or relax, right? David faced such a situation. Imagine that. You know? And what did he do? What would be his reaction, right? This is the greatest danger. In Tamil they say, Vara Vinay. You know, never ever has happened. There is no precedence for this. A government against one helpless man. Right? That's what David faced, if you know his history, right? And what was his reaction? If I would have seen that in the TV, that all this is happening against me, I would have had a heart attack and probably went into coma that very moment, right? But what did this man do? Look at verse 23. "The princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your presence." Wow! David, you understand what you're saying? The government is against you, man. They are deploying forces against you. And what is your reaction? You're going to sit and read your Bible? That's what he's saying. No, your servant meditates on your statutes. Wow, that's an amazing reaction, right? And he titles himself as thy servant. And he's not a man who is living for his own lust. He's a repented man. And he's turned from sin. We studied about repentance last week, right? He's turned from sin and to live as a way of life to please God, to obey God, and giving as a creature, taking his place and realizing that he's a slave of God and obeying God. That's the title he gives himself, Christ's servant. "The princes are against me, Lord, but I am your servant." And see his reaction, right? "Thy servant meditates on your precepts." Look at I hope you can perceive the armor, the weapon that David is using to fight against this vast enemy, the big danger that he faces, right? You know, first of all, he was not, you know, completely fell into despair by this opposition, right? And he kept on, is persevered on, kept on respecting the word of God, and never left meditating. In spite of facing such a danger, Lord, I kept on meditating and esteeming your word. And he was a servant, therefore felt, you know, the Lord will defend me. And so all these princely slanderers, you know, will not allow all these plans and plots. I will never allow that to be, my mind to be disturbed with that. These guys, you know, the Lord can take care of me, these rebels. Right? I will not even give 5 minutes thought for all that they do, but I will spend and divert my mind into the holy meditation of God's word. And you know, it's beautiful to see. One side, all these are in an uproar, trying to destroy and plant David. And this side, you see a kind of another scene in David. The man is calmly sitting with his God, reading his Bible. In a way, answering his slanders by never answering them at all. Not even slightly being disturbed. It's a beautiful picture. I will meditate. Right? He says, I will redeem my time. Even under these provocations, even under these difficult circumstances, I am going to meditate your words, right? I think it's not only talked about his love for the word of God, his perseverance in meditating the word of God. It is a kind of relief that he is using in this situation. This is a response to this horrible calamity in his life, right? The biggest danger in the world. He's saying, I will respond by meditating your word. Because in the next verse, he will go on and say, we will see that next week, where God's word will not only comfort him, strengthen him, give him courage to his faith at this time, but will give him guidance, give him wisdom how to deal with the situation. Amazing the verse, right? I don't know about you, but are you a person filled with tension? Filled with worries, thinking about what about that, what about this, and thoughts keep coming continuously to your mind, and to an extent where you know you're not able to sleep. You keep thinking, and you keep rolling in your bed, and you can't relax. I'm used to things like that, right? And it's okay, tomorrow is the interview and I'll have to prepare for the interview, and tomorrow there is a big meeting with my CEO. So how do I plan for that? How do I do that? And thoughts keep coming, and what do I say? What if they ask this, that? It keeps coming to us and we think so much, we don't even get proper sleep and we get so disturbed. If you are a person like that, I think there is an important lesson. I don't know when you will learn, but I'm kind of learning. I think the best way to ease the mind and heart from all kinds of worries and anxieties and troubles, right, that we may face from the world to the men, is to seriously meditate on God's word. Now, why at such big trouble, a national trouble, right? You know, the whole nation is against him. This guy, look at the way he responds. He says, I will meditate on your word. Why can he say this, right? I think there are three reasons I want to point out. Three reasons why David could say this. Number one, he's using it as a holy distraction. And it is the best distraction and it is the best guidance and direction. Okay, let's look at those three things. Why is such a strange response, right? David, why? Because this is the holy distraction. I think it's the best. It's the best way to ease the trouble of a thought. Whatever may be happening, you know, there are things that is beyond our control. Right? Okay, there are parliament and this government is doing that and these guys are planning this and, you know, we may not at all be involved. Have you lost sleep because of the discussions that happen somewhere? Right? That's how we are. And these thoughts continuously trouble us, and I think it's not very good. Sometimes we've allowed that to create an anxiety, create, you know, kind of magnify our sorrows. It's a diversion. It's a very, very prudent thing to do. When our thoughts are continuously flowing and we keep thinking about the subject, it keeps troubling, it is always good to divert our mind. Right? They always say, even medically they say that you should divert your mind. Here is a David, he's facing a big trouble. And he's not sitting down with his, you know, towel on his head and, you know, bemoaning the calamity. Oh, what has happened? And he's not sinking under this burden. Though the princes may be plotting against my death, all these horrible things may be happening, but he diverts his mind to the word of God. Just like in the as a farmer, right, I've seen my uncle, right, and there is water that gets filled up. It's kind of overflowing in the field, and before it destroys the crop, it kind of creates another water pathway, right, so that the water can go in some other pathway. Similarly, when our minds are overwhelmed with the subjects and we are overwhelmed with trouble about those subjects, it's always prudent thing to divert our thoughts. So here is the only distraction that David is using, right? As God's servant, he should have God's comfort. And there is another place, I think Psalm 73, where his mind is fully disturbed, looking at the wicked and how they prosper. And I'm this guy always obeying God, but you know, but they are always happy. They don't have sickness. Why am I having all these problems? But they seem to be very happy and prosperous. And then in 73:17, he says, I went into the sanctuary. There I understood their end. Right? He diverts his mind, and through the use of God's means, he gets the comfort, he gets to see things very clearly. So the first thing, it's the diversion, it's a holy diversion. Second, why is such trouble, David? Why are you meditating God's word? Don't you have better things to do and plan your escape and all that? No. Second thing, among all the diversions, all the best diversions, the best of the best diversion is God's word. The best diversion is God's word, right? See, every diversion will help to a certain extent, right? That's why worldly men, they have different diversions, right? You kind of entertain yourself, you listen to music, you do something. It may help us to temporarily forget our sorrows, temporarily forget our problems. But it's not going to help us deal with that problem, right? It's not going to comfort us under that problem. We don't get any comfort. It's just a diversion. But only God's word, it not only comforts us in that problem, but it gives us direction as to how to react to that situation as God's children. Because these situations, these troubles come in our life because we believe in the providence of God, and we see there is an infinite wisdom, right, that God allows these things. And it is because of God's providence that this has come, and we get that wisdom how to handle that from the word of God. Worldly men, when they have troubles, when they have problems, what do? They go to their bottles, they go to their drugs and games and sports and entertainment or their friends. But they actually counteract, they destroy the purpose of providence. Right? All these troubles come so that they may see God, right? That's the way God sends the troubles. And that could be an opportunity for them that they have to improve. But these guys counteract and destroy the providential purpose. But when believer, when he goes to God's word in such situations, he sees the exceedingly greatness of God's promises. And he gets the comfort, he sees the wisdom and the comfort which other times he would have never experienced. It is the same verse, it is the same passage, right? Just like I'm preaching in Philippians, right? Unless I had this layoff situation in my company, I would have never understood the comfort from coming from that verse. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and request, make your request known to God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God will guard your heart, right? The peace of God beyond all understanding will guard yours. I would have never practically understood unless there was a problem, right? I think that's the best distraction. And you know, you can distract your mind by all these worldly things and all that, but it's not going to help you. It's not going to give you the comfort that is needed. It's not going to help you to deal with that situation. Right? And it's not going to help us. And later once that goes out, we'll again face the same thing, right? There is a comfort there. And not only the direction, but there is a comfort, right? For example, there is a verse, it talks about Moses, Hebrews 11:27. It's talking about Moses, you know, he feared not the wrath of the king when he saw who was invisible. Isn't that an amazing thing? There is a Pharaoh, there is a superpower, Egypt, and Pharaoh is the monarch in that kingdom. And this guy, you know, he kind of got to the wrong side of that Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh wants to kill Moses. But the verse says, he was not afraid of Pharaoh, because he saw the one who was invisible. Meaning he saw God, right? He saw God who is greater than this Pharaoh. And that sight, that diversion removed all the fear of Pharaoh from his heart. Hebrews 11:27. Right? It kind of takes us off men and makes us look at God. It kind of takes our sight from the confusing providence and makes us look at the covenant of God. It makes us turn away from the temporal things and look at the eternal things. So that's what we should do. I think it's the best diversion, if you ask me. And the promises, the exceeding promises that comes from the Word of God, it comforts us and it leads us, it guides us. And thirdly, okay, the first, it's the only diversion, it is the best diversion available, Word of God. And thirdly, this is the diversion that teaches us how to react to that situation, gives us the best counsel and advice. As a Christian living, you know, wanting to live worthy of the gospel, right? I think we should be more concerned about how we live than what we suffer, right? Because, you know, our life is going to be a testimony for the gospel. And how we react to a certain situation, how we react to a certain trial is going, the witness of the gospel is at stake. This is what we do. Oh no, when there is a danger, we talk about God in ordinary circumstances. We talk about God who never forsakes us, who will always help us, who will always comfort us. But when we face danger, how do we react? People watch us, right? You know, our families watch us, right? Everybody watches us. What kind of witness are we living? So whatever situation, I think we should be careful not to do anything that dishonors God. Dishonors makes us unworthy of our calling. And how do we react? How can a man live in the midst of the trials in a manner worthy of the gospel? I think the Word of God will give us the direction. The Word of God will teach him how to carry himself in those dangers. Right? How to, instead of, you know, taking revenge, instead of lying, instead of taking, you know, compromising with your conscience, compromising with your principles, you know, taking any sinful, hasty decisions, right? Yeah, David would have been stuck on thinking about, oh, these guys are doing something and I need to do something, and a hook or crook, I need to escape. And he could have done a lot of horrible things, right? His own reaction would have been horrible. And especially those times, devil will bring all kinds of easy routes for us to escape, which are sinful, which may make us feel safe. How many times David had this temptation? 26, remember that he could have easily killed Saul, right? And he could have escaped from his danger. But you know, when you read those accounts, I preached on each of that in our church, how gloriously he comes as a man, a giant of faith. Right? Saul is just close by, and he could have killed and he could have been done with all his trials, all his fugitive life. He says, no, I will not raise my hand against the anointed. Let the Lord judge between you and me. Wow! Is that your reaction, David? What a godly reaction! What a wise way to react in that way. You don't take any shortcuts. You don't use any unlawful means. How did that happen? It's not just automatically. It's not because David was born divine. No, no, no. He was a man. Even though princes were plotting, he always kept meditating on God's word. Right? And that word taught him the direction how to live a worthy manner, how to honor God. It taught him how to live as a child of God, even in the midst of trials. Right? The most brilliant men may plan and plot against us how to destroy us. But when our mind is on the Word of God and we are meditating on the Word of God, we will receive the wisdom beyond all of that. They may never expect how we react, right? We may receive divine wisdom on to behave that can completely awe them, that can completely surprise them. In the same Psalm 119:98, he says, through thy commandments, you have made me wiser than my enemies. Isn't that what he experienced? Okay, so This is the exposition of this verse, I think wonderful verse, when there is a big danger that David is facing. And we see his marvelous, strange reaction. And why did he react? He's saying, I will meditate on your word. Because he's using it as a holy distraction. And I said, this is the best distraction. And it is because it is this kind of distraction that will teach us the best way to react and the best way to come out of it. Right? As children worthy of, children who are called to live worthy of the gospel. Let me conclude with one application, right? I think in all our troubles, please practice this method. This is a gracious method, right? By prayer or meditation. These are powerful weapons that is given to us, right? Practice this method. There are so many troubles, so many things that disturb your mind, and you're thinking about that, thinking about this, thinking about David says, I face the worst danger, the whole government plotting against me. You know how he reacted? I meditated on your word. Right? I think in our church, there was reading was very less. And I know how difficult, I had to work for years. And now, I think almost 70% of the people have started reading, following the Bible calendar. And reading, following the Bible calendar. Especially, let me give you a confession. It's difficult for me. Every week I have to prepare 3 to 4 sermons with all, and imagine how much of reading I have to do to prepare that. And the regular read, and with all the other responsibilities, job and all that, following calendar is a challenge for me. But when I saw most of the people, they were regularly doing it, it encouraged my heart. And instead of all kinds of wasting my time, I started redeeming my time and started, I'm almost close to finishing the Bible, and what a joy. And those of you who have stopped, who have not been following, I want to tell you, you lost a great year. And the troubles that you went through last year, the worries and tensions and the temptations and the sins, so much could have been avoided if you learned this divine art of reading God's Word. I want to encourage you, we're almost by the end of this year, I want to encourage you to start again. And I started this psalm to give a regular dose to everybody, right? Now we need regular motivation to go to God's Word, read God's Word, and that's why we started this psalm. And probably it will take 4 or 5 years for us to finish this psalm, but I want to ensure that every week there is a push for us to go back to God's Word. And probably we should all reach a stage where 100% of the church people, members at least, are reading God's Word. Through the Bible every year. So stop excuses. And all of those, if you are following, right, I want to encourage you to go to the next step. Next step is the memorization of the scriptures, right? Notice David is not saying, I read your word every day. It's not about just a glance reading, but he's talking about, I meditate on your statutes, right? You kind of take a verse, and out of all the reading that you do, you take a verse or a 2 verse and keep mumbling that, keep repeating that in your mind. It's not just a cursory reading. I know the cursory reading of following the Bible candlelight will give you an overview of the scriptures, right? But, that will not have a serious impact on your thought. Meditation, somebody said, is the mother and the nurse of all knowledge and all godliness, right? Without which we can't. Now, we can't have any deep impressions of the truth in us. We'll just be parroting like parrots. Right? It is the meditation which will send the truth deep inside us. We feel the power of the truth. Right? And it will burn inside our heart. Somebody said the pondering thoughts. The meditating thoughts are like you try to lighten up a barbecue, right? It initially doesn't lighten up. You'll have to keep blowing it, and then all of a sudden there is heat. That's how meditation works. Right? Just like David said, I will meditate on your statutes. And secondly, see, meditation is the best means for all these anxieties and all these false accusations and against the spirit of revenge. Meditation is the best means. Secondly, this is so very important because when we understand the kind of life that God has called us to live, See, we'll have to settle in our minds. Last time I said that we are going to face trials. You're not going to have a good time in this world. The Lord said, in the world you will have tribulations. Apostles said, through many tribulations you must enter the kingdom of heaven. And we will have crosses in Christian life, and we will never advance in Christianity if you don't have cross. If you don't have trials. I think it was Owen who said, God had one son without sin, but no sons without a cross. And so you will face that problem, because God uses trials as a means of sanctification in our life, right? And if you want to live worthy of the gospel, we will have further trials. We will probably have persecution. Maybe just like the Lord foretold, we will have persecution even from authorities. And I think it's all part of our sanctification. If we have not built spiritual stamina to bear the small anxieties and trials of our simple, narrow life, how are we going to be prepared for all the things that are going to come? Right? You know why you get often discouraged? Why even in small insults, small trials, small problems, you don't even have stamina to withhold that? Think about David. Right? You know, the big garment is plotting and the man says, I don't care. I'm meditating on how long are we going to be the milk stops, right? Who are passive, who never take any decisions, who are still childish, cowardly, and you can't even bear one small trial, small insult, somebody says something, you don't get sleep for 3 days. It's all because of your poor meditation of God's word. The truth has not gone deeper into you, right? I think it's very, very important for us to learn to meditate God's word because of the lifestyle that we have called for. And God help us to learn that lesson. Let's pray.